Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Well, I wonder if you can think back to a time in your lives when you were really lost. Now, I don't mean a time in your life where you were just too stubborn to ask for directions, but you were absolutely and utterly lost. I came up with an example in my own life, which was tough to do because I always ask for directions. And when I don't, I have a loving wife who will give them to me. Sorry, hon. Well, our family was at a hotel in Pittsburgh for the night on our way to or from visiting our family out east. My brother was 8, I was 13. And we decided to leave dinner downstairs. We were with the family and go upstairs to watch TV. And when we got on the elevator, for some reason, I just thought this was a good time to test this theory I had that if you jump in the air, the elevator will come up to meet you. Well, it didn't work as I had planned or as I had thought it would be. We tried it a couple times, and on the third try, the elevator just stopped. And I didn't panic at first. You know, I'll just push that emergency button, or I think elevators used to have these little telephones that you could just call for help. Well, guess what? Neither of those worked. So I started to get this feeling that I think I might be spending the night in this elevator. Well, my brother and I did spend 5 hours on that elevator, and it was a wise maintenance man that realized that one of the elevators at the hotel wasn't running. And he looked into it, and he ultimately rescued us. And as we were being lifted through the roof of the elevator to the floor above, I could see the panic and the relief on my parents' faces. At the same time, the Pittsburgh police were combing the city looking for us. It was amazing what a difference I experienced from one moment being panicky and feeling lost to the next moment of big relief and being welcomed by my parents. What a feeling, I'll never forget it. But this is the picture I want you to see of our scripture today, because the focus of Luke 15 is on being lost and being found. And the context for this particular passage is that Jesus has been doing some teaching about the cost of discipleship. And he is doing his teaching, as he's doing his teaching, he is confronted by some religious reformers who are very critical of him. Later, if you read on, you find out that Jesus begins to talk about the hypocrisy of religious reformers who are so concerned about religious law and ritual, but don't seem to give a hoot about the people that they are called to lead. And they are challenging Jesus. It says here, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Now, Jesus didn't defend himself. Instead, he tells this beautiful story. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. What a tremendous story. A real picture of a God who takes the initiative to seek the lost. The focus is not on the lost as much as it is on the great seeker, that even while we're lost, God comes after us and looks for us. But as I looked at the story, I had a more mundane question. I thought, how did that shepherd know that one sheep was missing? I mean, can you imagine 100 sheep running around? And these are the short-tailed, long-haired, very active sheep who can pick their way up on a rock hillside or on a mountain, and they move. How would that shepherd know out of a flock of 100 that one was missing? Well, I think this is another picture of how God operates with us. God does not have to keep count because God knows each one of us personally, so uniquely that the very hairs on our heads are numbered, that God knows when we're lost, and that God searches us out. The Greek term for this characteristic is one that connotes the idea of desperate seeking. It's like the feeling of parents who lose a couple kids in a strange city. They don't just kind of casually search. They are desperately seeking their lost kids. That's the way God comes for us, desperately seeking. I think it's a beautiful image that God would care about one person out there who is lost, who can't find their way home. I don't get it. But I do know in this parable that it was very important to that one sheep. I do know that when I was lost, it was very important to me that my parents should find me. You see, the only solution for being lost is getting found. The parable of Jesus and the lost sheep is part of a larger group of stories often called the lost parables, because they're all about losing and finding things, a sheep, a coin, and next week, a son. And in all three stories, there's a celebration when the lost is found. After the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus moves on to the second story about a coin. This parable, however, had to be a bit more difficult for the Pharisees to appreciate. Of the three parties at the end of each parable, this would be the party least likely for these holy men to attend. The person in the story is a lowly woman. She is a poor village peasant, living in a house with no window, hence the need for a lamp. The picture is of someone of lower class than the sheep owner. Even the coin that she loses speaks to her being in a lower place. The subject of lostness is not a living, breathing creature, but rather a thing, an inanimate object. And many suppose that the coin was part of the family savings, but if so, it was not a great sum, the equivalent of 10 days' wages at best. When compared to a sheep and a son, the coin is the least valuable commodity, and she searches carefully and would not quit until she finds it. The Greek text could be translated, "She kept on keeping on until she found it." Then she called in her friends to rejoice. But would Jesus' listeners attend this party? Likely a unanimous no among the Pharisees. As I said, the bash is hosted by a woman, and since she is poor, she is probably perceived as cursed. Best stay away from that party and not taint our good reputations. But I wonder if they hear Jesus say that even the angels rejoice with her. Can we even begin to calculate how much more valuable is a lost soul than a lost coin? I wonder if we do. We've all visited the lost and found department. We know forgotten people, We've experienced lost and wasted days. So much seems lost, like all those opportunities to forget a quarrel and keep a friend, or to call up someone just to say hi. And there's the time we lost not loving, or the sleep we've lost because of worry, afraid to surrender ourselves to God's dependable care. We all want to believe that God loves us unconditionally, and that when we're lost, like a sheep or a coin or a wayward child, God will find us. But I think that being lost is what commends us to God's grace. Through the cross of Jesus, God demonstrates that there is nothing God wouldn't do to find us when we are lost, to love us when we feel unloved or unlovable, to accept us when we feel rejected, and to raise us up when we feel unworthy. I don't know about you, but I need to hear this message over and over and over again, because we live in a world that sends us messages that we're not enough, but we are. And through God's grace and acceptance, our lostness is the only ticket we need to get into the party. It's not about the sheep looking for the shepherd. It's about the shepherd looking for and finding the sheep. Amen.